glimpses of Imam Reza's dynamic life. In the name of God, the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. Salam, everybody, and heartiest congratulations on a very auspicious day in whose blessings Iran and the faithful all over the world are basking. As you know, today is the 11th of the sacred month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the day on which, in the year 148 AH, corresponding to 766 AD, Imam Reza, peace upon him, was born in Medina, the city of his illustrious ancestor, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He was the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, and during his 20-year period of Imamat, he ably guided the seekers of truth to the shores of salvation, despite the harassment to which he was subjected by three tyrannical Abbasid caliphs, the last of whom, Ma'mun, forcibly brought him to Marv in Khorasan and against his will declared him the heir apparent of the Islamic realm in order to mislead the Muslim masses into thinking that the ruler was respecting the Immaculate Ahlul Bayt and then had him secretly martyred through a dose of poison. Stay with us for a special feature on the life and times of Imam Reza, peace upon him, whose holy shrine in Mashhad is the most sacred spot on the soil of Iran. But before that, we recite to you Ayah 36 of Surah Nur, which reads, "In houses Allah has allowed to be raised and wherein His name is celebrated, He is glorified therein morning and evening." When this ayah was revealed by God through Archangel Gabriel, the Prophet expounded its meaning to his companions. According to a narration found in the books of Hadith of our Sunni brethren, Abu Bakr asked whether the house of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon them, was also among the houses exalted by Allah. The Messenger of Mercy replied in affirmation, and added that it is the best of houses. Alas, today the godless Wahhabis have destroyed not just the house of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima, peace upon them, along with the entire Bani Hashim locality in Medina, but their blasphemous bulldozers have left no trace of the house where the Prophet of Islam, whom God calls Mercy unto the entire creation, was born in Mecca. The question that arises is that by such ungodly acts that are not less in profanity than the periodical sacrilege to which some satanic minds in the West resort against the sanctities of Islam through films, journals, and novels, have the Wahhabis succeeded in obliterating from Muslim minds the hallowed status of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt, whose spotless purity God Almighty Himself has vouched in the Noble Quran in Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab? The answer is a big no. The facts are all too obvious. A house is not just a place where a person is born and lives, but also the final resting place, or in other words, the grave which houses his or her body. To be more precise, the ayah of Surah Nur that we recited includes, without the least doubt, the holy shrines of the Ahlul Bayt, where day and night the name of God Almighty is glorified, and which are indeed the most exalted abodes anywhere in the world. One such hallowed house is in Iran, in the city of Mashhad, which is now hosting millions of Muslims from not just all over the Islamic Republic, but from different parts of the globe. It is the shrine of the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace upon him, who was, as we said earlier, born on the 11th of Dhul-Qa'dah in the year 148 AH in his now destroyed house in Medina, but who through immortal martyrdom found a permanent place in Khorasan that leads the believers to the celestial heavens. Imam Reza, peace upon him, needs no introduction. His father was Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, who rests in peace in Kazemain near Baghdad, where he was martyred through poisoning by the tyrant Harun al-Rashid. His grandfather, as Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace upon him, the reviver of the Prophet's pristine practice and behavior, Sunnah and Sirah, which is known today all over the world as Fiqh al-Ja'fariyya. The 8th Imam's mother was the virtuous lady from North Africa, Toktam, also called Najme Khatun. In 183 AH, the divine mantle of Imamat came to rest on the shoulders of Imam Reza, peace upon him, who ably discharged the duties entrusted to him by God Almighty in guiding the people. He himself was a paragon of virtues and ethics, without the slightest blemish in his impeccable character. As mentioned by the famous narrator of the hadith, the Iranian scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Babwei Saduq, who lived over a millennium ago, in the words of Ibrahim ibn Abbas, "I never saw Ali Reza committing excess over anyone in talking and interrupting anybody's speech before its coming to the end. He did not stretch his legs in the presence of others. When the meal table was laid, he invited the servants to it and took his meals with them. After taking rest in the nights, he got up and made himself busy with the prayers to Allah. Similar to his forefathers, he carried food to the houses of the afflicted ones at the mid of nights." These flawless traits are an indication of not just the unsullied personalities of the Ahlul Bayt, but indicate the infallibility of their immaculate ancestor, the Prophet of Islam, the exemplar par excellence for all mankind, as God calls him in the Noble Quran. Imam Reza, peace upon him, who was kind to everyone, did not tolerate any deviation. Even if the person who committed wrong was to be his relative or brother, as is clear by an admonition from the 8th Imam to his erring brother Zayd, which shows it is virtue that exalts a person in the sight of God. One day, when Imam Reza was delivering a speech in a grand assembly, he heard Zayd praising himself before the people, saying, "I am so and so." Imam Reza asked him, "O Zayd, have you trusted the words of the grocers of Kufa and are conveying them to the people? What kind of things are you talking about? The sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima Zahra are worthy and outstanding only when they obey the commandments of Allah and keep themselves away from sin and blunder. You think you are like Imam Musa Kazem, Imam Ali ibn Hussein, and other Imams? Whereas they took pains and bore hardships on the way to Allah and pray to Allah day and night? Do you think you will gain without pain? Beware that if a person of us, the Ahlul Bayt, performs a good deed, he gets twice the reward. Because not only he performed good deeds like others, but also that he has maintained the honor of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. If he practices something bad and does a sin, he has performed two sins. One is that he performed a bad act like the rest of the people. And the other one is that he has negated the honor of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O brother, the one who obeys Allah is from us, the Ahlul Bayt, and the one who is a sinner is not ours. Allah said about the son of Noah, who cut the spiritual bondage with his father, he is not out of your lineage, but he was your lineage. I would have saved him from the deluge and granted him salvation. In 201 AH, Imam Reza, peace upon him, was forcibly brought to the city of Marvin, Khorasan by Ma'mun, who was afraid of the popularity among the Muslim Ummah of the Prophet's heir. In order to deceive the people, Ma'mun outwardly showed respect to Imam Reza, peace upon him, and offered him the caliphate, an offer which the Imam politely refused with the words, "If the caliphate is really yours, you owe not to give to others what God has given you as a trust. And if it does not belong to you, how can you give to others what is not yours?" The crafty caliph was stupefied but threatened the imam that he had no other option and should agree to become his heir apparent, although Imam Reza, peace upon him, was some 20 years older than Ma'mun. To celebrate the occasion, but actually to deceive the public, the caliph had poets sing praises of the imam and had their hands and even mouths stuffed with pearls and jewels from the public treasury, the looted wealth of the Muslim people. The black insignia of the Abbasids was replaced by the green insignia of the Alawites, or the descendants of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. And to give the impression of the seriousness to these theatrics, coins were struck, proclaiming the Prophet's 18th infallible heir as heir apparent to the Abbasid usurper, whose great-grandfathers Mansur Dawaniqi and Abul Abbas Safah had 7 years ago hijacked the caliphate on the slogan of returning the rule of Islamic realm to the Ahlul Bayt from the godless Umayyads. Soon, to his horror, Ma'mun realized that, through such theatrics, he had failed to isolate the imam from the ummah, as the popularity of the Prophet's rightful successor grew every day amongst the people. In view of his exemplary lifestyle, his God-given knowledge and wisdom, and his dynamic debates with the leaders and scholars of various schools of thought and religion, Ma'mun then invited leaders of various religions and schools of thought and asked Imam Reza, peace upon him, to debate with them, in the hope that these scholars of Jews, Sabians, Zoroastrians, Christians, Hindus, and atheist would outwit the prophet's successor. For instance, when Imran as-Sabi asked Imam Reza, peace upon him, "Do we declare the oneness of God by reality or by description?" The Imam answered, "Certainly, God, the light, the initiator of this cosmos, and the foremost, is one without any associate or any accompanying thing. He is unique without a second. The initiator has been self-existent, and the light that is dispending with everything. He did not exist in a definite time and will not last for a definite time. He has not existed in anything, has not hidden himself in anything. No sayer can invent a statement describing him, even if he thinks of light, example, apparition or shadow. And that was before the creation and in the situation where there was nothing but him. The same situation is in this position. There are only imaginary attributes and a translation of a picture in the mind purposed for making others understand." Did you understand, Imran? Imran Sabi, who lacked proper cognition of God, the one and only, had no other choice but to admit the truth of Islam. After this lively discourse on the Almighty Creator, of which we have only presented excerpts. Imam Reza, peace upon him, held similar debates with Jewish and Christian scholars and proved to them the truth and righteousness of Islam. For instance, during the debate with the Jewish scholar Ras al-Jalut, the Imam asked him about the prophethood of Moses, peace upon him. In reply, the Jewish scholar cited the miraculous parting of the sea waters and the turning of the staff into a giant snake. Imam Reza, peace upon him, said, "So you believe in Moses since he did what others could not do? Therefore, whoever claims prophethood and then does something which others are not able to do, you would believe him?" Ras al-Jalut replied, "No, I believe in Moses because he has a high status in the sight of God, and we cannot believe whoever claims to be prophet unless he brings miracles such as those of Moses." Imam Reza, peace upon him, said, "Then how do you believe in the prophets before Moses, whereas they could not bring miracles such as those of Moses?" The Jewish scholar replied, "I said that I believe those who perform some miracles for proving their prophethood." Imam Reza, peace upon him, said, "Why do you not have faith in Jesus? Did he not revive the dead and heal the blind, leprous and mad, and build beds from clay and made them alive on the command of God?" The Jewish scholar replied, "It is said that he did these, but we did not see them." Imam Reza, peace upon him, then said, "Have you seen the miracles of Prophet Moses, or have you just heard them from reliable persons?" The Jewish scholar acknowledged the words of the Imam, who then went on to say that Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the last and greatest messenger of God, was an orphan and worked as a shepherd, but it was God who gave him the eternal miracle of the Noble Quran, which will remain forever, while the miracles performed by the other prophets, including Moses, were time-bound. The Imam thus proved that the miracle of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, that is the Noble Quran, is eternal and alive, and can be seen and acknowledged by all, while the miracles of the past prophets are events of the past. We once again congratulate our listeners and end our special feature with a wonderful saying from Imam Reza, peace upon him, which is indeed food for thought. As for the brain, it is the greatest of all Allah's creatures. It dominates the whole body, controls all movements of it, and drives it to wherever it desires. And by it, man is distinguished from the rest of animals. Allah has singled out the brain for man, and through it, he has ennobled man over all his creatures. Surely, the brain is a world of wonders. No creature can match it in greatness, for it contains stores which never are full, and it preserves whatever knowledge is deposited in it. If we want to mention the wonders of the brain, then we have to write a full book about them. Glory belongs to him who has originated and created the brain.